Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Wow, wow, wow. Odyssey is going to be acquired, it seems, as an asset in the bankruptcy of a library, a bankruptcy totally caused by the SEC in total arbitrary way. It's so unjust what has happened, because today we learned that even the other lawsuits of the SEC aren't working. They just abandoned their XRP lawsuit. So really, they targeted Odyssey in a way that 1,000 other crypto projects could have been targeted, but Odyssey made the ultimate sin, and Library, actually, Library Inc. made the ultimate sin of being honest about where they were, who they were, and did what most crypto projects do, which is fund themselves with some positioning with respect to the raise, generally an advantageous positioning. And in their case, they were transparent about it. So if you will, they admitted the crime of securities violation. So you end up having, you're going to have the crypto projects that you deserve, which is if you pursue the honest people like Library who say to their user base, look, we're keeping those Library coins aside. We're doing it because we want to grow this whole system. And they were successful at doing it. That's ultimately their big sin. They were successful, whereas every crypto project out there, will crash at some point and doesn't deliver on products. But they delivered something. They delivered liberty to the internet so that I can speak to you guys freely. And it's so sad because the SEC was trying to use them as a springboard. Trying to use this case as a springboard to go after the whole crypto community. But this is not even working. They're not successful at it. So all they will have is this little historical case where they annoyed one particular crypto company, and then there's going to be nothing. There's nothing they can do. Santa says, Radix Vetim did an interesting analysis of JF and his reaction to Mama JF's disappearance. So what's the gist of it? Tell us, Santa, because I won't go check out a video about my private life. I know enough about my private life not to need a bunch of noobs on the internet to be talking to me about it. But no, see, don't send me the link to the YouTube video. I want a summary or get the fuck out. Go Away says, does this mean JF is moving to Rumble? It could. What the message is saying about Odyssey is Library Inc. is disappearing. The library network may continue in some form, but may crash. Depends on if there are enough people who are willing to pay servers to maintain it. Odyssey is basically the only asset of big value that could be sold. That could be sold for a significant amount of money. Because it's the most popular Web3 decentralized website basically on the internet. So Odyssey will be bought by the highest bidder. That's how it will happen. So no, it's not shutting down. What they say is they are confident that Odyssey will have value to attract solicitation, to attract people who will want to buy it. And yes, AI Pro says Elon should buy it. That would be fucking amazing, because Elon is creating an ecosystem of freedom on the internet. And if I can be so lucky as to be saved by Elon on Twitter, and then that our video distribution platform could be also saved by Elon, I think that this is a serious thing that he should consider. Because the fact is, his live streaming platform, the development of it simply doesn't fit the standard of live streaming platform. It is just not attractive for people to be streaming on Twitter. So buy it, buy Odyssey. It's all done. The work is done for you. All you have to do is integrate whatever Odyssey has done to your larger Twitter ecosystem, and that should be easy. That your engineers will be able to do. But to start from scratch and get it right in terms of chat, in terms of regular chat, super chats, in terms of attracting a customer base, you have it all there, Elon, and you probably have it at a cheap price. That would be fantastic. Like, I could say that I've been saved twice by Elon. Haij Security says, how much does it cost to buy? Well, it's going to be a bankruptcy proceeding with whoever is the highest bidder will get Odyssey. So that's how they expect it to work. And they expect that there will be bidders because Odyssey is a valuable place. It's like buying a small affront to the monopoly of YouTube. There should be a bunch of people interested in doing this. Now the question is, will the new owners decide to go away from freedom of speech? That is the question. Like, you have Rumble right now claiming to be a free speech platform. You have Odyssey, who has they've had their TOS, but they have been honest in not trying to pursue a war against their creators. So that has been very appreciated. But who knows? The new owners may want to go more liberty or less liberty. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. But anyways, this is a very possible thing that if we're not pleased with the new owners of Odyssey, I switch to Rumble. We can do this on a night's notice. So it's not dramatic for me. But I will keep being at Odyssey as long as they offer an acceptable service, good streaming. I know some of you guys are experiencing issues, but it's manageable. And the rates of super chats is super super generous. And so why not continue? LBRT says, JF, did you hear about how Arweave was helping Odyssey function for a while now? No, I don't know about this. Jupiter's Moon IO has no business looking this amazing, says Paul Byrne. Wow, the moon of Jupiter. What a load of crap on there. Doesn't seem like much can happen there. People have talked about this, I believe, as a potential colonization target, but I look at the yellowness of it, and it's going to need a complete aesthetic review. Too yellow, too much green. It looks like baby poo. You know, if you want to attract people, you're gonna have to do some geoengineering here. ANC report, Ryan Dawson says today, yesterday, my site is under attack. Not surprising. Someone was making a joke. They were saying maybe your site got targeted by a Hamas missile. Maybe your site is attacking itself. that is a very good joke. But yeah, not surprising. The people who are voices for exposing the violations of rights that are currently happening to the Palestinian people will get targeted by these internet attackers that are at the service of the US government, the Israeli government. Not surprising at all. The end of Library Inc., that is the post today on Odyssey. Library Inc. must die. There is no escaping this. It has lost a judgment to the federal government, has several million dollars in debt, and has pledged to shut down. This will be our last post. You can't win, you pathetic life form. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Obi-Wan Kenobi said this to Darth Gensler in SEC versus Star Wars 1, right before he was struck down by an antique weapon, Securities Law. What's happening to Library Inc.? Library Inc. has debts to the SEC, its legal team, and a private debtor that it cannot pay. Its assets, including Odyssey, are being placed into receivership. As of this post, all library executives, employees, and board members have resigned. All will be doing what is required to satisfy any outstanding legal requirements, but no more. Fortunately, library isn't our network. It's a decentralized network, and all the code powering it is open source. But the library network might die too. Decentralization isn't magic. It only works if enough people use it. Could library still swallow all digital publishing like we intended? Could this be the beginning of a descent to obscurity? Who knows? It's not like we're library experts. The truth is that even writing this post fills us with anxiety. Everything we say is being scrutinized by people with immense resources that aren't big fans of us, free speech, or any technology that enables dissent. And if we violate another one of United States' incredibly clear and easy-to-follow laws, we might end up in jail. However, we got into the game by being honest in the cryptocurrency space when few were. We then got in trouble for being so honest. It only makes sense to go out the same way. It's our nature. Odyssey, the flagship library app, continues to serve more than 6 million people each month, even while it has been iced. CoinGecko rates Odyssey as the most popular Web3 social media site in the world. Odyssey's popularity makes it the most valuable asset of Library Inc. While it's nearly certain the Odyssey assets will be assumed by someone interested in resuming its growth, it's unclear if Odyssey will continue to use the library network in the future, switch to another crypto network, or switch to a traditional Web2 platform. For the data nerds and founders, a full log of our monthly and weekly Odyssey user data is here. When much of the crypto industry was burning money, we succeeded at building usable Web3 software that people actually wanted to use. Absolutely commendable. Absolutely beautiful work there. A moment of history on the internet, really. Because Web3 suffers from painful login processes, suffers from usability consideration issues, suffers from shy engagement by a crowd that needs to be educated about the nature of logins, wallet control. And Odyssey has taken a path. It has taken the path of extreme usability for the user, basically going heads to heads against a YouTube, against a massive monopoly of the internet. And I have so much respect. We will retain this whole part of history on the internet, not as something that was that is sad, but as something that was perhaps the first step to something eventually better. Or to even this thing, Odyssey, becoming better itself. What happens to library channels and contents? Over 1,700,000 identities and 30 million pieces of content have been published to the library blockchain. As long as the library blockchain continues to be mined, those identities and records will continue to exist. However, the content itself is not published to the blockchain and requires host nodes to function. If Odyssey chooses to stop utilizing library, then content that is not actively seeded by others will stop being available. Using library desktop is the best way to ensure your content remains available. Can Odyssey switch from library? Maybe, maybe not. It's unclear whether Odyssey has permission to port content that was published from library to somewhere else. Additionally, at one point, Odyssey committed users that it would always use library so long as it was legal to do so. But we're feeling pretty done with legal fights, and we'd rather see our friends at Odyssey continue to do productive work supporting free speech. Ultimately, this will be decided by users, not by us, and we encourage users to wait and see. Is the library token still a security? Ha 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 ha. We're not falling for believing this question is answerable again. In our case, the judge was clear that only Library Inc. broke the law, and only because it kept a significant pre-mine of the library token. But there was the Ripple decision, and if you add those together, then... sentence redacted by legal team. Will Library Inc. be continuing its appeal against the SEC? No. Where is the library community now? The Library Foundation runs a Discord chat and some other communities. What happens to library.com, GitHub, and other assets? The library.com domain, library social media handles, GitHub, and all other assets are to be used to satisfy debt. That is, they will be sold. We recommend use trusting Jack Robinson on any issues or debates of library code authenticity, as even this channel itself is technically an asset of Library Inc. In other words, they are gone. So long. Our online freedom is increasingly threatened as it simultaneously become increasingly necessary. We're proud to have played a role in the efforts to keep the internet free, but also remorseful to have everything play out as it did. Even harder than dealing with the federal government is the idea that we would have let people down who had faith in us. To creators, users, and investors, in that order, thank you for putting your confidence in us. We won't apologize to the government, but we're grateful and apologetic to you. Bye. Well, that is how an era of the internet ends. What goes on from here all depends about the level of ninja we have here. What kind of ninjas are we dealing with? Are we dealing with level 2 ninjas, or are we dealing with level 3 ninjas? Because, of course, this whole... The thing is, they can't say what they want to say, okay? That's the key. If they were to say it, their post would probably send them in jail. But all that the future of Odyssey and Library relies onto is whether they were ninja enough to ensure that some other ninjas would continue their ninja doings. It's as simple as this. Basically, these guys were operating a company. And they were operating a decentralized system, but that decentralized system relied heavily on a backbone of paid-for servers that they were willing to pay for themselves. The question is, do they have enough resources, or is there someone out there who has enough resources to restore those ninja servers somewhere else? And that is it. That is all that the continuation of the current state of Library, and maybe not Odyssey, but certainly the continuation of Library as it stands, all relies on this. That is a big problem, that ultimately we are in a world that expects service from other people on the internet, and the fact is no system is truly decentralized. It always boils down to the spinal cord. It's always holding on the backbone of a bunch of ninjas, a bunch of internet ninjas. And the question is, when these ninjas fall, is there someone else to replace them? Do they care so much about their creation that they have thought about the sustainability of it even when they are not there anymore? And when perhaps some of them die, some creators of crypto will die at some point, and will their project continue? It's all about ninjas and how much of them are available and willing to do that. Hermit says, take these before they disappear. I've been watching you since 2016 and will continue watching regardless of where you move to. I still have my TPS mug to remind me of those entertaining and enlightening times. Hail. Well, thank you. You have a rare collector piece in this public space mug. Dead Star says, you briefly mentioned the Keith Woods academic agent conflict the other day. What was that all about? As for AA's politics, could you give a basic rundown? Well, no. I mean, as far as all I know about Academic Agent is this YouTuber. We've had him on the show before. Who's basically is like a center-right normie conservative who interacts with the far right. That's how I would present him. That's how I understand him. I don't know much deeper about him. He has all these theories and these super long streams where he lays out arguments, arguments basically for normie conservatism of some degree. And honestly, I've only dug deep into one or two, which are the arguments I've countered when I made videos about him. And I've not been particularly impressed, honestly. I've been countering his arguments, and many times I've been sent videos by him, and I prepared making a video about academic agent, but, you know, sometimes his arguments are of the form, well, Marxism says that too, and so the left position here and the right is the same. And he has these whole conceptions that where you think you see a difference, there's no difference. And I don't like it. I'm not convinced. It's not solid argumentation, in my view. Go Away says, AA is the reason I left liberalism and joined the alt-right. Well, Go Away, you're a liar. You tell so much lies that I wouldn't assume that you're correct. Now, some positivism in the library community. People were saying Library Inc. is shutting down. Library without the Inc. isn't going anywhere. It's decentralized. They literally can't shut it down. Odyssey isn't going anywhere either. Library Inc. is being shut down for violations of some laws, and they lost in court. Yeah, that is the positive interpretation of. Yeah, if the internet ninjas have done what they have to do, everything is fine. But how much ninja action has there been? How many ninjas were willing to receive the ninja knowledge? Were there servers on which to deploy the ninja libraries? All of these questions remain unanswered. So it's hard to say, well, yes, what's happening is strictly a corporate attack onto Library Inc. as an abstract entity. But sometimes you attack the abstract entity and you affect the ninjas. So that's what there is. That's all there is to say. E. Michael Jones says, COVID poster boy for vaccine dies of heart attack at age 8. But his death has had nothing to do with the vaccine. You gotta be kidding me. This super healthy young boy at 8 years old is dead after a distinguished physician's grandson who appeared in vaccine promotions tragically passed away. One commenter says, how many more children will die on the golden altar? He is an Israeli boy featured in a video used to push COVID vaccines on children in a nationwide campaign. He died tragically from a sudden heart attack in late September. The boy was only 8 years old. Jonathan Moshe Ehrlichman, grandson of a distinguished physician in Bethel, Dr. Matty Ehrlichman, died unexpectedly of cardiac arrest while taking a bath. What are the chances? What are the chances for an 8-year-old to die of cardiac arrest for taking a bath? Go Away says the Israeli doctors use children as human shields. Oh, maybe you're up to something here. Are we justified? Could we do a military intervention to stop? I'm trying to think in terms of Israeli morality here. Could we airstrike? I can't say it. Is it possible that we can use the argument of human shield to justify stopping the COVID craziness. That's how I will phrase it. Cloud Warmer sends, there's a new trend. People are sending me their LBC. Like Nicholas Petris has sent me 18.76 LBC. That looks like a good buy. That is like 18.76. It looks like he emptied his account. And we also have a Cloud Warmer sending 14.98. Those are like their last LBCs. Papa Jeff is accumulating all the LBC because I trust the internet ninjas. See, so I'm very happy that you guys are sending me your LBC in despair, because I, for one, believe that there is a something will re-rise. There is a future ahead for this ID, for this tradition of the internet. I, for one, am white-pilled. But it's not based on any private knowledge of Odyssey or library people. I don't talk to them. I don't know them. I mean, sometimes I send them emails and, you know, sometimes when there's something technical to talk about, I do it. But I don't have special insight into their mind. But something gives me hope. This platform works too well to be abandoned like this as a kind of a skeleton of the internet. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, did you know you can lose your leg from the flu? Woman loses leg, flu, skeletons, reveals pandemic truth, expert shares a sleeping tip. Well, thank you, but yeah, you can lose anything from the flu. It's just sometimes, you know, there are physical consequences down the line. You have a flu, or it gives you a blood clot. Your blood clot makes you lose your leg, so something like this. DK Shadow sends 5 LBC, says LBC fire sale. Yes, I'm acquiring power in the falling world. That's all I do indeed. Shring Mamel sends $5. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, it looks as though Poland has fallen to the West. They just had an election a few days ago. If I remember correctly, you predicted this. I may have predicted this. I remember talking about these things. I don't remember exactly what was the tenor of what I was predicting. But definitely, it's been on my mind that, you know, the West is taking over, as successfully exported its kind of LGBT liberalism to Ukraine. Although, you know, unsuccessfully in many ways, you know, the Ukraine society hasn't been that penetrated by LGBT ideology. But you know, the West has had some penetration of the elites there. And it's not surprising that they would succeed at pulling that on Poland to complete the kind of front, the united front against nature, basically, against Russia. And so I've never been super enthusiastic at the idea that we could be saved by Poland and Hungary. See, back in 2017-18, we had a lot of right-wing people coming here and telling us about the greatness of Hungary and Poland as seats of demographics maintenance for white people. And while I can entertain a kind of, okay, that would be good if it happens, you know, good for them and good for us if we have some place to run to, I've never been convinced that these places were seats of effective long-term resistance against the corrupting nature of the American empire. And you seem to be saying that the late election, I haven't followed it at all, but the late election appears to have been moving in the direction of the American empire. I wouldn't be surprised. Spud Ruckus also getting rid of his or her LBC. Here you go, good sir. Wow, I'm LBC rich tonight. I feel like the guy who's... You guys are showering me with money that's worth nothing anymore. Like, LBC is going down and down and down, and that's when you give me your LBC? Of course, you didn't give me your LBC when LBC was at 25 cents. You give me your LBC when it's worth nothing. It's going down the drain. My God. You guys, I hate you. 7 UN special rapporteur. There is an ongoing campaign by Israel resulting in crimes against humanity in Gaza. There is also a risk of genocide against the Palestinian people. A risk. We are playing in possible genocide territory, ladies and gentlemen. Personally, I mean, I've seen enough. I've seen enough burnt children body of Palestinians. I've seen enough dead children body to call it a genocide, or a genocide in progress, if you want to call it that way. But yeah, I understand that the UN wants to be always wants to be careful with the words that they use, but a risk of genocide. What I see on camera on an everyday basis coming from Palestine is a little more than this. It's an ongoing genocide. Admittedly, it could stop, and it would be desirable if it stopped. But as far as I'm concerned, the genocide has begun. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, do you have any opinions on Stick's ban from writing community notes and his interaction with Elon? Really? He's been banned?
All right, everyone. The other day I was kicked off of community notes on Twitter. I can still rate other people's notes, but I can't actually make ratings on there anymore. And that's because of their thing. If I think it's 3 out of 5 of your recent notes are found unhelpful, then you get booted from the site. There are multiple problems, as I've discussed before, with community notes. But Elon Musk himself was kind enough to actually reply to the thread that I made on this topic, so maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. To be clear, it is a little bit unique among mainline tech sites when the person who's running the site and happens to be the richest person in the world is actually willing to address people's concerns. So I guess all's fair on that one. That's one up for him, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here. I don't think that Twitter uniquely targeted me, as I.
What he says is absolutely correct. I feel that I don't want to lose my status, and because of this, I self-censor 90% of the notes that I would want to write. When I write a note, I'm sure that it won't be rated as unhelpful. I'm sure that at best it will be ignored. But Elon has to work on this, because here, Elon, you have a PhD guy. I know about facts, and I may have the finest understanding of live news-related fact-finding processes in the world right now. I'm at the peak of my cognitive capabilities. And I have to censor 90% of the community notes I think could be worth it. Because I know that people are so stupid that they're going to find things unhelpful that actually are helpful. I know that people are so stupid that they will downvote my community note without doing the research. So what do we do with this? Well, we need a powerful Elon that doesn't go for punishment by following the mobs, because let's not forget, community notes exist to neutralize a mob that's out there, that's making lies and correct them. But there's a mob inside community notes also. So if community notes wants to be in line with its principle of you are a fair arbiter, You want the collision between the left and the right to happen in your system, and you want the algorithm to extract the truth from it, it needs to be non-punishable to be generously writing notes. You need to integrate the idea that notes are always welcome, and that the algorithm's job is to tell the interesting notes from the not interesting, but it's not because it's not interesting as judged by the internal mob of community notes that the individual community noter must be punished. It cannot be the case that being found unhelpful is enough of a justification to there should be another rating. If you want to be punitive toward people who are using the site unproductively, then you have to create another rating that is more than unhelpful. It could be something like, this community note is absolutely violative of all community note principles. Like a grave label that would be applied to really something that was written in bad faith. To distinguish from the generally, I don't want this community note to be displayed. But then this community note is violative of some rule or it's abuse. That is something that may be worth banning. But when someone of the degree of intelligence of Stick, Saxon, Hammer can't sustain presence in your system is too severe because you're depriving yourself of an intelligent brain there. Now, maybe Stick, Saxon, Hammer is a libertarian thinking kind of individual. Maybe he laid out generously in the reviews. But you don't want to deprive the algorithm of its food. Never bite the hand that feeds you. And what's the hand that feeds the algorithm, Elon? It's abundance. Abundance of thought. And when you ban people because they don't write the right community note that the mob wants, you are depriving the algorithm of abundance. And you're depriving the algorithm of diversity that will further sustain the justness and fairness of your system. So here's my message to Elon. Ban the rules, ban the system, ban the algorithm until a mind like that of Stick, Saxon, Hammer is included and until a mind like that of Papa JF doesn't feel at risk of writing most of what he would want to write. Throw my stuff to the trash if you don't like it, but don't ban me. Keep my mind in that system. I didn't know about this, so thank you for updating me about this. That's not a news I had caught in my feed. Disclose.tv, U.S. Department issues worldwide caution travel alert. I announced this caution to the worldwide... Caution to worldwide traveling. I announced it 7 years ago. They're so late on this. They are doing it now. Yes, the world is dangerous. Yes, most of this world is a sewer hole that you could shit in, but that you shouldn't want to visit. Watcher Guru reports Ripple XRP CEO Brad Garlinghouse releases a statement following SEC dropping lawsuit against him. In all seriousness, Chris and I, in a case involving no claims of fraud or misrepresentations, were targeted by the SEC in a ruthless attempt to personally ruin us and the company so many have worked hard to build for over a decade. The SEC repeatedly kept its eye off the ball while secretly meeting with the likes of SBF, failing again and again to protect U.S. consumers and businesses. How many millions of taxpayer dollars were wasted? Feels good to be finally vindicated. So see, the SEC going after companies is totally arbitrary. They pick on single companies in the crypto space and it's all useless because they win one, they lose the other. And there's no building of a legal precedent as they wanted. They just made it hard for companies to be honest. Goaway says, will JF ever do a fan meetup in Australia? I tried to organize one and only two people showed up, and I'm pretty sure one of us was a Fed. If JF makes an appearance, I'm sure more will show up. I'm not going to Australia, bro. I'm not going to Australia. I'm not moving. I'm safe here. I have all the security I need. But I can't displace my security systems. Hey there, says, looking forward to your film discussion on the Decameron Festival. Do you watch foreign films often or do the subtitles bug you? The subtitles wouldn't be a problem necessarily. But I hate foreign films because of the different minds of foreign people. I hate the mind of a like South Korean filmmaker who wants to and it's like, oh yeah, my movie is more fucked up than your average movie. First, it's in Korean. Second, there's this guy eating in some psychopathic manner, a living octopus. And it's like, oh my God. Oh, he's so crazy. Oh, his life has been ruined. That's why he's eating a living octopus. And oh, look at the as the octopus tries to flee his mouth. Isn't that fucked up, bro? Oh yeah, totally fucked up. It's like, no, I'm not feeling it, bro. I've been unimpressed by emos when I was 14 years old. I'm not going to be impressed by you taking the whole conception of emos and making it into a fucking movie. Tell me a story. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, JF, I've tested for COVID-19 for the fourth time now. People at work noticed I was sick and they tried guilting me into wearing a mask. I told them I don't submit to medical fascism. I find it funny all these normies talk about putting people in danger, but coming to work sick, however, they put themselves in danger. Oh, yeah, well, testing positive for COVID. Everyone is testing positive for COVID. I think we're in a season right now. October, I guess. Yeah, that's the beginning of the winter. Northern winter. Yeah. Everyone in my family is testing positive for COVID, except me, because I'm not testing. Because I don't care about knowing the exact evolutionary route of the particular respiratory virus that leads me to cough during a fucking winter. Because all of my ancestors have just said, that's the flu. Oh, you got the flu. Eat some pickles. And that's what I'll do also, because my ancestors survived long enough to produce me. And they did so without a vaccine. The 8-year-old Israeli boy cannot say as much, right? Gad is intentionally misrepresenting the Israeli situation. The problem is that out of the 4 people you killed in retaliation in your example, 3 of them had nothing to do with the initial aggression. So Gad Saha, they are trying to do some low-level philosophy. If 10 people attack me with knives to kill me, and I end up shooting 4 of them dead, this proves that I am the evil one because they were only trying to kill one person, whereas I killed 4 people. Hence, the disproportionality shows that I'm the evil one. I stand with luminary Bai Youssef, who destroyed the Jew wannabe Piers Morgan. Bassem is an Egyptian artist, so he is much smarter than those idiots and gullible white Westerners who did not even get his satire. So, of course, with Gad Saad, it's always wrapped in unfunny humor and sarcasm. And, oh my God, you haven't exactly gotten the layer of sarcasm that I was intending. But remove the sarcasm and the crap, and ultimately what Gad Saad is laughing at, supposedly laughing at, although it's not funny, what he is criticizing is the view of disproportionality. But the problem is there is a disproportionality in targeting. Like, it's not just the number of people you kill. Of course, if someone tries to kill me and I kill them in return, it's disproportionate in the response, in the outcome. But that is not the only dimension of disproportionality that Israel is getting criticized for. The problem of what Israel is doing is that it's killing people who have nothing to do with the kidnappings that they were the victim of and the killings they were the victim of. So if you want to do an example that truly reflects this, it would be as follows. 10 people come to try to kill me. I shoot back in self-defense. But I am so pissed at at having had my life attempted against me, that I go out there and I kill three extra people that had nothing to do with the attack against me. They're children, in fact. They're 8-year-old children in hospitals. That is the example that properly illustrates what Israel is doing. It's not about vengeful, appropriate self-defense action against people who have committed a crime against you. It's that you are ruining the lives of everyone around these people. I was discussing this just before the show on Discord with people of the server. And it's like, and we were getting down to the fundamental question of, are you justified in any response against a threat? Like, if some, like the philosophical question of, what if someone is a threat to you, but he uses a human shield? Are you entitled to kill them if it involves also hurting the human shield in the process, potentially killing the human shield? And to really understand this, and I'm a moral nihilist, so in the end, if all of the normies could agree and say, yes, that's okay, I'd be like, okay, that's a way to live, I guess. But what I was trying to say on Discord is, it's certainly not the mode of morality that most people accept. It's an unacceptable, by current standard, way to do things, to kill the hostage just in case. That is not something that normie morality allows. And so it's like, I'm all for discussion of, oh, do we want this kind of morality in society? Well, maybe we do, but the problem is that we are only invoking these special moralities to allow Israel a free pass. Because no one is talking about applying this morality to white people. It's only for Jews that we are having this discussion here. Because I said, let's do an example of white people here to show you how the theory of human shields as a justification is absolutely ridiculous. So suppose I want to go shop in Chicago. I really like there's a gyros joint in Chicago. My God, do they make the perfect gyros with generous quantities of sour cream. They slice the gyros fresh from the sword. Schling, schling. They put some red onions. It tastes fresh. It is one of the best things I've ever eaten. However, by entering Chicago, I looked up the stats on the internet, and I have a 0.001% chance of getting murdered by a Chicago criminal. That's a threat to me. But now, gyros, people are saying it's heroes. Heroes. Well, I'm not going to say this like this. No. If you want me to say heroes, remove the G. But as long as you leave the G, I'll pronounce the G. So I love this gyros. There are a bunch of murderers who have a statistical chance of killing me if I go by them. I said on Discord, is it morally viable for me to argue that I should nuke Chicago? I should launch a nuclear attack onto Chicago to clean the place first, make sure that the person who creates the gyros in Chicago is out of town that day. So I kill everyone in Chicago and then go into Chicago to buy my gyros. because arguably, the murderers of Chicago are holding the non-murderer citizens as human shields. They are kind of using those non-murderer citizens that will produce gyroses for me, and they are using them as human shield. The only reason I can't nuke Chicago is I can't be sure that everyone I would nuke would be a murderer. But if I could somehow isolate all the murderers who want to kill me and who constitute an immediate threat to me, then I could nuke Chicago. The point is, it's indefensible logic, says Chuck Garrity. Yeah, I'm making the extreme case here to show no one would allow me this logic, that to go shop for a gyro in Chicago, I'm allowed to preemptively nuke Chicago just to reduce the criminal threat against me. But that is what the human shield argument is ultimately. It's that, oh, well, yeah, we're trying to aim for a bunch of criminals that are dangerous to us, but there just happens to be so many people around them. And we should be able to nuke all of them at the same time. That is ridiculous. And the kind of moral caveat that Israel is trying to give to this is, well, we didn't nuke the innocent population. And I say nuke, of course, it's just to relate to my example. I know they're not using nukes, but they're using basically a form of carpet bombing that might as well be a nuke. I mean, they're carpet bombing the whole society of Palestine. The caveat that they try to use as a defense is, well, we told people they should leave those places. First, by saying this, do you have any evidence that announcing to people that they have to leave will leave only the terrorist in place and the citizens will be getting out? Do you have a guarantee that the citizens are even feeling safe at getting out, given that you're bombarding across the country and that you're bombarding sometimes on the escape routes that they would have to use to get out? How is it that you think a 24-hour advance notice is enough to deprive everyone of their right to property? And how does that make the destruction of their property justifiable? It doesn't. That's the point of the Nuke Chicago philosophical thought experiment. Shrink Mamel says, Jeff, my girlfriend wants me to visit her extended family with her in Alberta, as it is as based as, say, South Dakota, or is it just a slightly less liberal part of Canada? No, Alberta has been totally invaded by a migrating force coming from across Canada because they were so successful economically that they drained a bunch of Arabist liberals that were seeking job opportunities at higher salaries. So at this point, Alberta is as cocked, let me tell you. Alberta is as cocked as Austin, Texas. That is exactly the current situation of Alberta. Alberta is the Austin, Texas of Canada. Now, comparatively to other places, it's not so bad. I mean, of course, if you compare to Ontario, Alberta is a desirable place to go. If you have the choice between living in Ontario or Alberta, I would tell you Alberta all day long. But Alberta is in process of conversion. They are not as conservative as they are said to be, just like Austin, Texas. It's like eventually the demographic pull reaches you. And that's where Alberta is at right now. So in terms of visiting it, I would give an equal valuation to visiting Alberta as I do to a random large rock in some river. It's like, yeah, Jeff, come and see the rock. If no one charges me and if I have time that day and if the rock is a couple of meters away from me, maybe I'll go see the rock. But other than this, I'm not going to go out of my way to see a fucking rock, nor will I go out of my way to see Alberta. Hassan Piker is one of the world's most influential media commentators, and he has called Piers Morgan a stenographer for the Israeli government Tonight they go one-on-one. Oh, this will be fun. I want to watch this one. Because Hassan hasn't been very good. Hassan is an annoying, very weak argument type of guy. But Piers Morgan is not particularly intelligent either. And so it's going to be a weird battle because it turns out. Yes, rare Hassan win, says Relict. Exactly. I think that it could be interesting because it might be the first time I even root for Hassan Piker. So it's going to be interesting if he can pull something. Hassan Piker, says Nicholas Petrus. Hassan Piker! I will not repeat what Sam Hyde had been saying then, but it was what an interesting appearance it was. Camden County Sheriff's Office in Georgia released the October 16 dash cam footage of the police shooting of the latest BLM martyr, Leonard Curry. He choked a deputy in the video. Curry was called a model citizen and spoke to school students about the justice system. So a case of police shooting here. Let's have a look. I've seen the video, and in my view, when you're a police and you have a gun on you, if someone is lunging at you and hitting you and controlling your head and potentially choking you, you are absolutely at risk of death. And to me, it is justified that you defend yourself by using your gun.
Step out! Get out! Get out! Put your hands back here.
I ain't doing shit.
Put your damn hands back here.
Resistance to arrest.
Who are you?
Staff Sergeant Officer Sheriff's Office.
My name is Al Wade.
I don't care. Step to the rear of this vehicle.
In the name of who?
And so he's targeting him with a taser at this point.
In the name of the law of the state of Georgia, step back here now or you're getting tased.
Watch me now.
Put your hands on the back of that truck.
Do you see that?
Put your hands on the back of that.
Why do they feel the need to make everything complicated? It doesn't matter if the arrest is unjust. You will be able to make all these arguments in court. There is no reason to escalate an arrest that has already been declared. Maybe the police is totally wrong in arresting you. If that's the case, you're still going to have to go to jail, and you're going to have to make your argument in court, and you will be released. But you cannot cause anything productive from the moment a police has decided that you were under arrest. You cannot cause anything productive other than an escalation of violence that could result in your death. That is the only direction it can go. Either you accept to be arrested without resistance, or you build up to eventually the moment where they have to kill you. That is literally your choice.
That truck.
The back of the truck.
Both hands. Turn around.
Okay, so Shrig Mamel, I hadn't noticed in your super chat that it's your girlfriend asking you to visit Alberta. If it's your girlfriend and you're doing it for the purpose of reproduction, sure, go visit Alberta. But I was just saying, you shouldn't have any interest in seeing Alberta. But if Alberta is a channel that leads your dick into a vagina for some reason, do visit Alberta.
34, can you send me another unit? One non-compliant.
And now he's making the whole, oh, well, you told me to put my hands on the back of the truck. And so he's showing his hands to the camera. It's like half compliance, half resistance.
Your name is Officer who?
Staff Sergeant Aldridge with the Camden County Sheriff's Office.
Who county?
Camden County. Put your hand behind your back.
Do I have a warrant? Wait. No. Excuse me.
Either put your hands behind your back or you're getting tased. I'm telling you that right now.
Why am I getting tased?
Because you are under arrest for speeding and reckless driving.
I'm not.
So when you speed above a certain limit, it's reckless driving and it's a crime. And sometimes they will just give you a ticket or they will just give you a court appearance without arrest. But they have the luxury of deciding, and given that you've been resisting, they will take that luxury of putting you in jail for that crime. So if you are above 30 or 40 miles per hour, the limit, it can be a misdemeanor, a crime, and they can arrest you.
Not driving, nobody was hurt. How was I speeding?
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
Okay, so that's a speeding ticket, right?
Sir, tickets in the state of Georgia are criminal offenses.
I don't have a ticket in Georgia.
You do now?
Why?
You passed me doing 100 miles an hour.
And what? Am I?
So you are in a state that is not yours, but you have committed a crime in that state.
Hands behind your back. Yes, you are going to jail. Hands behind your back.
And now the taser is beginning. Somehow this guy is weirdly zen, you know, in his resistance. He has some sort of positioning that I don't know. He's trying to take in the tase. People were asking me, Jeff, why is the taser sometimes working, sometimes not working? Well, it stems first. There are people who are just, they have a stronger body and they may be able to take a little more shock than most people. This guy seems healthy and, you know, relatively strong. But it also boils down to this is basically a hook that comes, it gets shot by the gun and it hooks to the shirt. Now, it can hook in really not solid ways. It can be kind of on the side. It can be poorly angled. It can hook in a way that keeps a distance with the skin. And all of these factors will influence the amount of electricity that truly creates a shock in the person. And also the place of the body. This thing needs a shirt. It needs something to grab to stay close to your skin at all. And sometimes the grips will not take into the shirt.
Put your hands behind your back!
And so now he's pulling some ninja moves to get rid of the taser wires. He has pulled the glasses of the policeman, thrown them on the floor. Policeman gets the upper hooks on the neck, but clearly this guy is stronger than the policeman, and even with the under hook is capable of basically lifting him up and restraining his neck on the left side. And now he's going to outpower him from the underhook, really outpowering him very dangerously around the neck area. You see already that he started this position where he pushes his face toward the back. Now he grabs his throat in a way that is very dangerous. I mean, he could be knocked out at any moment at this point and be killed. If you get knocked out in a police confrontation with a violent individual, they can grab your gun and kill you. So any second now, the life of this policeman is in danger. Somehow, this policeman, despite being subject to strangulation, is attempting a non-lethal means still. He's attempting to pull out his baton to get some hits on the guy that would be non-lethal. But the baton isn't able to give any significant hit with the baton. And the guy is continuing his, at this point, potentially deadly torsion of the neck behind. I mean, look at this. He is bending his entire spinal cord toward the back. That can kill you.
Yeah, bitch.
And now the police has grabbed for his gun. He had no choice. He is in a position where he can be killed at any time. and he has just shot the guy in the side of his body. That is it for the interaction. I mean, eventually we see the ambulance arrive and he calls for help. And so, yeah, I mean, there is nothing to be criticized here in terms of the police work. Again, police are extremely competent, and they know that the amount of danger that comes from being in a certain position. They know how to rate the behaviors of individual and to detect situations that justify the use of force, and that was totally justified in my view. Yeah, we don't hear much of the gunshot. We hear pop. But it's the way the video came out. I don't know if it's due to maybe some peaking of the microphone, or perhaps they censored part of it for internet display. But in any case, that was the moment at which he shot him in the side of his body. You know, another argument that it's not a Hamas rocket that fired into the hospital is... we have video emerging the next day. Now, it's a different video. It's a different moment. But just to show you, Israel is attacking very close to Palestinian hospitals all the time. And so is it so hard to believe that another one of these missiles, 24 hours earlier than this video, could have blown up an hospital? It's not hard at all to believe, because here's another case. 24 hours later, where definitely it's an Israeli airstrike. And same pattern as the Israeli airstrike that is currently being denied falsely, in my view, by the Israeli government. You hear the... Those are... And I was listening to a specialist in ammunitions analyzing this. Apparently, this whole noise, this what I call the whistling, which I'm not an expert in arms, but apparently it's due to controllable fins, and it's indicative of a targeted bomb, one that is actively powered to go somewhere, either geographically, geolocation-based targeting, heat targeting, but some sort of targeting and some sort of bomb that has the ability to drive, basically. So it's like, okay, Israel claims that 24 hours earlier, a missile with the exact same noise struck an hospital, just like this hospital, because the guy that's filming this is located in an hospital. I mean, you even hear the ambulance. So you're going to make me believe that Israel was striking at meters away from a hospital on October 18th, but we are to believe that on October 17th, they have nothing to do with a missile that happens to have struck an hospital. It's ridiculous. The most rational belief at this point is Israel is constantly firing those missiles that are making this pew noise. They're probably JDAM missiles, but it's not dramatic if they're not. But they are aiming around places that are within meters of hospitals. And sometimes these missiles are making hospitals catch fire and are creating massive damage by creating some shockwave or destruction that eventually kills people in the hospital. Is it so hard to believe that the people in the hospital here could have died from this missile here if it had been 50 meters in some other direction, 50 meters closer to the hospital? So this is exactly the kind of missile that has caused the hospital explosion. So I conclude that for now, the evidence, and people have tried to say to this video, oh, it's a deceptive video because it's been taken 24 hours after the other. Well, okay, it's not a video of the hospital explosion, of course, because the guy who's filming this is in the hospital, and the hospital is still standing. And the hospital isn't, you know, the guy filming this isn't dead. But it's a video that gives us some data point here. A data point that Israel is very likely these days to strike with these special kind of missiles that make this special kind of noise around hospital locations. And if they miss their target, or if they touch their target and it happens to be the hospital, then there's going to be a lot of dead babies in these hospitals. You don't need a Hamas misfiring of a rocket to explain this. And in fact, the Hamas misfiring of a rocket wouldn't explain why we hear this noise. Israel is evacuating embassies in the Middle East, including the one in Bahrain. Okay, not surprising. They are probably planning a lot of aggression going forward. Good news, Israel's credit rating has been put on review for downgrade by Moody's rating agency. And here we have a Christian church that was bombed. This guy was at his house destroyed, so he went into a church to seek refuge. A Christian church, but the Christian church also has been bombed. And so he's saying, where can I go? I tried to seek refuge in a church. They even blow this one up. Raised Fist says, JF, I remember you were okay with Russian targeting a shopping center because there were war vehicles parked in the basement. Yes. And that is what's on my mind when I evaluate the morality of what Israel is doing here. When we were presented this evidence by the Russians have published a video that was showing those military vehicles entering into this place with missiles that could kill Russian soldiers. And then I said, yes, it seems to me justified that to strike those vehicles who are carrying weapons for the Ukrainian side, they happen to have hidden themselves into a shopping center. It is justified to blow them up. But we had a surgical strike, and we had a evidence of the enemy weapon being there. We don't have this with the Israelis. With the Israelis, we have no video showing that there were missiles in the hospital. There were none. We have no surgicalness of the strike because you ended up blowing up an hospital in which there were children that had to live there. They had to survive in the hospital. You killed them. So we really don't fit what led me to believe that the Russian action was justified. Simple as. And by the way, I think about these things. I think about these things before I take public position, because I don't want to be called out by some clever guy like you, Raised Fist, on the regular chat, who would detect an inconsistency. I've been thinking about this blowing of the commercial center by the Russians since the beginning of my commentary on Israel. And I always ask myself, what led me to be convinced back in those Russian-Ukraine days? Well, the Russians had given us video intel indicative that their target was legitimate, military target. They had struck this target with what was available in terms of in terms of minimal striking force that would ensure the destruction of that target. In other words, they didn't blow up a nuke onto the city to kill those two jeeps. They blew up the commercial center that was hosting these two jeeps. That were, and I say jeep, they weren't jeep, they were those more advanced military vehicles that can carry those large, long missiles, you know. So I'm satisfied by the surgicalness and by the degree of evidence. Israel is not only not providing any of those, but it's denying something that is undeniable at this point. Something that, you know, they're lying. They're lying openly to everyone. And that is grave. That is grave when you lie to cover your murder of babies, of innocent civilians that have nothing to do with the attacks against your country. Oil surges after report, U.S. destroyer shoots down multiple Houthi missiles. So some degree of actions in those waters where they transport oil and where the Houthis are sending strikes toward the boats that are making those shipments. Al Jazeera is converging toward my opinion. They say their investigation found no grounds for the Israeli army's claim that the strike on the Al-Hali Arab hospital in Gaza was caused by a failed rocket launch. They're lying openly. They have zero evidence to back their claim. We now have Al Jazeera that's saying we can't find any evidence to support this theory of a Palestinian side Hamas misfiring. Elon Musk calls remote workers detached from reality. That is one thing on which I disagree with Elon Musk. I think Elon is misinformed about the nature of remote work. Personally, I direct very efficient teams from home. And it all depends on the type of team. Of course, if you're a big employer like Twitter, you're going to have parasites interested in being employed at your company. But small teams with extremely dedicated people totally can work remotely. There are people who are self-powered and they're self-managed and they want something to work. They want to be part of a project. Work from home totally works. It's just that, yeah, if you're Twitter and you hire 10,000 different people randomly based on your human resource investigation, yeah, you're going to end up with a lot of parasites just trying to get an easy job and an easy pay. But it's very different. Why Bankman-Fried's FTX fraud trial isn't going his way. The trial of SBF has thus far strongly supported the prosecution's charges of securities fraud, analysts say. Meanwhile, any questions regarding his massive political donations have been put off for another day. I would like this trial to eventually lead to a little more scrutiny on this. And finally, as a last news item, Elon Musk is talking with Mike Benz. Mike Benz, the new man of the hour. Elon, for your peripheral vision, Jimmy Wales advises NewsGuard, which is knee-deep in a plot to get governments to bankrupt alternative news. I didn't know about this. So Jimmy Wales, the leader of Wikipedia, the CEO or whatever, Jimmy Wales is on the advisory board of NewsGuard. And it's so interesting when you think about it, because Wikipedia has been working hard to create the second class status for anyone else than the mainstream media. They've made it so that basically mainstream media equals truth on Wikipedia. Now, I could show super solid evidence on my show about something. I could document 500 reasons why something is true. And yet on Wikipedia, that wouldn't be truth. For Wikipedia to take it as truth, it would have to be the case that a mainstream journalist has said, you know what, JF is right about these 500 arguments. And now it's a truth on Wikipedia. So we shouldn't be surprised that Wikipedia has converged toward absolute smearing of everyone, like me, independent media creators, independent thinkers, and it has totally favored the system. Well, it's because ultimately Wikipedia is headed by someone who works for a nebulous of organizations and people who have interest at shutting down independent thinking and collectivizing mainstream mediatic power. Wikipedia, that will be the death knell of Wikipedia. This whole authoritative sources and this whole bureaucracy that's basically aimed at converting mainstream normie media belief into being whitewashed as truth. That is it for tonight, boys. I'll take a break tomorrow because I have an interview. There's a guy who said, you know, I've watched your whole murder mystery stuff, but I'm not even interested at making an interview about this. I want to make an interview about you, JF, and what motivates you and what got you where you are. So it's going to be Iggy, so some guy who's into the MAGA side, but I don't know exactly who he is. So I'll take a break of the regular show so that I can be on this interview, and it will be at 11 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.